Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNation at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation. That would be the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Second in Command Reynolds here from beautiful downtown Portland, and say hi to all of our affiliates out there on the Radio Northwest Network, and also hello Seattle. How are you? All the 570 KVI listeners, I bid you a special welcome to the Barbecue Nation Network. This week on the Nation, we will be welcoming Kim Allison. Kim is the culinary editor from ThermoWorks. ThermoWorks just happens to make the absolutely best digital thermometers in the world. Happen to have a couple myself. But, you know, they got to test it. They got to make sure it's right. They've got food stuff on their websites. They've all that. And that is Kim's job. So we'll be talking to her in just a minute. Music this week is from our friends Blue Oyster Cult, or BOC. So let's welcome Kim Allison to the show. Hi, Kim.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. You are a trained, I guess, culinary editor, and you've done work in the culinary field, obviously, or you wouldn't have that job. So what exactly do you do for ThermoWorks?
So as the culinary editor, what I do is I perform different food projects in our demo kitchen using our products so that we can then use those projects to write blog posts so that we can help our customers learn different applications for the products.
Now, do you get kind of free rein when you do that? I mean, do you get to come up with the ideas?
Yes. I mean, so we definitely have a plan throughout the year that we follow, but it's pretty much on me to come up with all of the ideas for each of the projects that we have.
God, that'd be like cooking for, you know, your Sunday family dinner like 6 days a week now. You always have to come up with stuff like that.
It's pretty fun.
Is it?
You know, we just try to understand the different customers that we have and the needs they have with understanding our products, and then we can better come up with applications.
So how, when you're doing these products and you're doing this food testing and that, how does that actually work in conjunction with the development of the thermometers and the digital tech?
Well, as far as understanding that, I mean, since we get to use the products in a practical way, then we can understand better what the good features are and other features that we wish it had, some things that maybe aren't quite so good about the products. So we're able to put things through some, you know, rigorous testing on the technical end, but we can also see what it's going to be like from the consumer's point of view.
Do you ever get to sit in there with the tech guys and say, you know, I think it should be able to do this? Or maybe we need a special range, or, I mean, I don't know, I'm just kind of talking out my nose here, but do you get input with those guys?
Absolutely. So our product development team, they work closely with technical support, calibration, and also with the marketing team. So me, with my background as a chef, I've got the culinary education to understand specific culinary and food applications, so that our products can be better designed to meet the needs of all of our different customers.
So what's the best part of your job?
Best part of my job? Oh, that's a good question. Well, since I do have experience as a chef, it's really nice to be able to get into the kitchen, because sometimes I still get that itch. So it's great to be able to get in there and kind of do whatever I want. It's a pretty good little job to have.
So do the people at the company actually get to critique your offerings, your food?
Absolutely. That's a huge part of it.
I mean,
we understand that when you learn about how temperature affects food, it's going to affect the end product. And so we want to make sure that we are understanding the temperatures correctly. So it's pretty important that everyone is able to critique everything. Give me some feedback on it.
Give you some feedback on it.
Yeah.
You know, there's kind of a variation. I mean, I've been doing the food stuff for a long time. If you ever saw me in person, you would totally understand that statement. But, you know, there's variations. I mean, you see some of these printed charts out there, and they say, well, you know, if you want a medium rare steak, you should pull it off. The internal temperature should be 135. Some people, like myself, I like them a little more moist in the middle, if you will. And mm-hmm. so I'd say, you know, I pull it off at 125. Do you try to work within those types of parameters too? Not that that affects the digital components of your thermometers, but when you're actually testing the food and to see how accurate they are to those temperatures?
Oh, absolutely. We have those exact temperature windows that we're working with depending on the food. So if it is a steak, for example, like you brought up, and you want it to be medium rare, if you want the finished temperature to be around 130 degrees, then I would naturally pull it at about 125 because I know that the carryover cooking is going to increase
sure.
the resting temperature a little bit. But sure, yeah, we want to make sure that everything is cohesive with our understanding.
So give me some ballpark figures here. I mean, do they let you go to the grocery store every day or every week and kind of spend what you want? I mean, this would be a hell of a job, you know, to do this. So,
yeah, so I usually have one or two projects a week. And, yes, I'm the one who actually the inception of the different projects is on my shoulders. So I come up with the project ideas, and then I come up with the ingredient list of everything I'm going to need. And then, you know, we've got photography and video that go along with each project, so I'm also
sure.
responsible for taking care of all of the shot lists for those things. But, yeah, so I do. I head out to the store and grab whatever it is I need.
What a job. I mean, I mean, I cook on TV and stuff, too, you know, and I get to do that, but that also comes out of my pocket, so to speak. But to have the company credit card and go to the grocery store, what a job. That'd be great. What's okay, so we talked a little bit about the most fun part of your job. What's the most difficult part of it?
Most difficult part of it? Well, I don't know that there's anything difficult in the sense that, you know, it's drudgery, but there's an awful lot of research that goes on behind the scenes because we want to make sure that we've got everything right, like I mentioned. And we also, you know, for us, everything is about temperature. And so we want to be sure that we're understanding things to the point of learning about the molecular level of meat and how temperature affects it. So there's a lot of research that goes on to understand the different chemical processes that happen as temperature rises. So there's a lot of that, a lot of work that goes on with research.
So are you trying to develop new recipes or do classic ones?
You know what? So we don't develop our own recipes necessarily. What we like to do is lean on affiliates and other partners in the industry for their expertise on recipes. And then what we like to do is to take those recipes, do a project in the kitchen, and then apply some thermometry expertise so that we can, you know, augment what they've already put together so that we can help people understand the importance of measuring temperatures as you cook.
You just said a new word I'd never heard before, thermometry. Did you make that up, or is that...
No, that's a word, thermometry.
I honestly, in all the stuff I've done in food and all the years, I'd never heard that. I guess my education has been lacking.
No, you're fine. I mean, like I said, everything is about temperature with us, so we've got thermometry, thermodynamics, and metrology. Those are all terms we have in our regular vocabulary.
Well, I got the thermodynamics deal down, but the thermometry, I'd not heard that before. What do we got, about a minute left here? Okay. We're going to take a break, but we're going to come back with Kim Allison. I want to tell you about one of our new sponsors here, Knob Hill Outfitters. They just signed, I got to tell you this, with Sawtooth Grills, and they're going to be running a special this weekend here in the Portland area and online. For their model 410, the Sawtooth Pellet Grill, they're going to do an intro offer at $899 there. How about that? So you should go see Jim at Knob Hill Outfitters. That's at 3306 Southeast Lake Road, just west of Oatfield Road in Milwaukee, inside Milwaukee Floral and Garden, or online at knobhilloutfitters.com. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Kim Allison from ThermalWorks in just a few minutes. Don't go away. I'm burning for you.
It's Full Flavored Radio, Barbecue Nation with JT.
Hey, is my mic on? I can't hear it. Anyway, little BOC here on Barbecue Nation. There we go. I would like to welcome you back to the show. If you'd like to email us, it's Barbecue Nation, BBQNation at KXL.com or recipes at KXL.com. And Commander Reynolds,
your Facebook.com/BarbecueNation with JT. Nailed it while doing tech stuff.
There you go. Hey, that's it. And also hi to our latest affiliate, 570 KVI in Seattle. Following my buddy Lars Larson up there. Yeah, I don't think I follow him in show sequence, but he was the first one up there. You know, whatever. Okay. We've got Kim Allison from ThermalWorks here, and if he heard me ranting about them in the first segment, they make the world's greatest, I think, handheld, like, digital thermometers. I have a couple of them. You should not barbecue, or as far as I'm concerned, even cook inside in your kitchen without one. But we're going to ask Kim about that. So, Kim... Okay. Kim, what is your favorite thermometry? I remember that word. Yeah, thermometry unit from your company there.
Thermapen Mark IV, hands down.
You like that one?
Oh yeah, it's the best. It's accurate. It's fast, and it's incredibly versatile. There's almost nothing that it can't do. There isn't anything it can't do.
I will tell you a little secret about that because I have one of those. When we had the really cold weather. And my exterior thermometers on the house were not working. I took my digital thermometer out and set it on the wooden table, not a metal table, but a wooden table, and I got a pretty good accurate reading of the ambient temperature outside. So they have two uses. Who knew?
Sure. Yeah, it'll measure the temperature of anything that the sensor is around. Yeah, if I want to figure out the ambient temperature of something, I'll just kind of wave it around really quick and, it'll just measure that temperature. So,
could you stir your drink with it too? I was wondering, could you do that? If you had an iced tea or something,
could try that. I haven't ever done that before. Although my daughter does temper hot chocolate with it.
Does she?
Yep.
And what's her favorite temperature for her hot chocolate?
Just 125 degrees.
Whew, that's good. Yep. That's good. So, back to this. And they've heard of me talk about it, and many of my guests talk about it. Over the last couple of years since I've been doing this show, but how important is it to keep a thermometer handy when you are cooking? And that doesn't matter if it's indoors or outdoors, like I said a couple minutes ago. For me, it's very important because any of the larger roasts or anything you're cooking like that, but also for, baked potatoes or whatever. Your thoughts.
Well, I wouldn't, want to cook anything without it either. So it's going to affect the quality of your product, no matter what it is that you're cooking. It's also going to affect your food safety. And thing is, when something comes to temperature, you want to take it off immediately. You don't want to risk overcooking it. You want to have something that's nice and juicy when you're cooking meat. And then other applications, like you had mentioned, baked potatoes. You've got different points, like gelation points. Mm-hmm. With starches and pectins, and those happen at specific temperatures. So if you know what that temperature is, you can temp your baked potato, and you know that it's going to be soft in the middle. It's not going to be the tiniest bit firm. So when you know temperatures, it's kind of like you're unlocking this world. You know that you're going to have perfect food every single time, no questions asked. And like you said, it's outdoors, it's indoors. It's for people, who like to make candy and chocolate, especially at the holidays. There are very, very specific temperatures for those different processes. So if you want to be successful in the kitchen or on the grill or with your barbecue, then you need to have a thermometer with you at all times.
I actually, I made a bunch of Christmas candy. My mother is still alive. She's 94. And she taught me this year, finally, how to make her famous Christmas fudges and all that. I had to do a little improvising because, things aren't quite as sharp as they used to be, if you follow my drift there. But still, I ended up using my Mark IV in doing that.
Good.
Yeah, because it worked out well. I'm actually glad I got time to spend with my mom that she could remember those things. So that was a very cool thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it really was. What is your favorite thing to, like, when you live in Utah, and when you go to cook outside during the spring, summer, and fall, you're not in a snowstorm as we speak today, but what do you like to cook when you're grilling outside, or does your husband do all that?
I mainly do it. It's going to be me. So my family, they love steak. And when you finally learn how to cook it properly with the right temperature, it's going to be perfect every single time, and it's going to be better than anything you would have at a restaurant. So more often than not, my family, they like to have steak. So that's something I'll do on the grill. And then also ribs. I love to make barbecue ribs. They're so fun to do because, I mean, they're just like a blank canvas. There's so many different kinds of rubs and sauces that work well with them. They're a lot of fun.
And actually, ribs are pretty easy to do.
Oh, man, are you kidding?
Yeah. Yeah, they really are. Yeah, they really are. And there's no reason for ever burning your ribs, you know, or putting too much of a char on them or anything. If you screw them up, you're not paying attention. That's the only thing I can say on that.
Right. They are one of those things where I feel like it's kind of hard to mess them up.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, if you worked in the government or something, then I guess that we could give you a pass because you could screw up anything. But that's another
no
show.
Comment there.
There's another show right there.
Exactly.
So when you're doing that, what do you do for your temperatures? I mean, do you like your stuff medium rare? And what do you look for that gives you the idea to stick the probe into the steak?
All right. Well, good question. So I like to reverse sear my steak. And so I'll either smoke it or I'll put it in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Just take them from raw. And then I usually cook them to about 90 degrees for the internal temperature.
Sure.
And then from there, I'll do a pan sear or I'll sear it on the grill until it gets to about 125 degrees.
I like it. You know, this new thing has been called reverse sear. And a lot of people where I grew up have been doing it for 50 years because they use a lot of smokers and stuff. And then they throw it on the grill, put a little bark on it, put it on the plate. We're talking with Kim Allison. I got the name right this time, from Thermal Works in Utah. When we come back, Kim is going to be subjected to the lightning round. There she is. I mean, she doesn't know it yet, though. We'll be back on Barbecue Nation in just a minute.
It's a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now, with Barbecue Nation, here's JT.
Don't fear the Reaper here on Barbecue Nation. Don't fear the Reaper. No, just don't burn it. Turn it. We've got Kim Allison with us from Thermal Works today, but want to welcome a new sponsor from Seattle who's joining us up there. They'll be on next week, the Bellevue Fireplace Shop at 208 105th Avenue Northeast over there in Bellevue. Like to say hi to them, do a little shout out there. You know, my second-in-command here, Reynolds, he spent some time in Kentucky. And I was going to tell you about these two boneheads in Kentucky. This happened just a little bit before Christmas. These two guys were planning to rob a barbecue restaurant. And the problem is they butt-dialed 911, and they didn't know it. And so the 911 operator heard them talking about their plans. So the 911 operator got a hold of the local police chief. This was in Danbury. Or Danforth or Danbury? Danville, sorry.
I was going to say, I think Danville is the place, which is close to Indiana, I believe, on the border.
Yeah, it's right there. These guys are on the border, trust me, like that. So she got a hold of the local sheriff, who just happened to be having dinner at the local barbecue restaurant when these two boneheads were out there in the parking lot. So, and the place is called Brothers Barbecue. So, Police Chief Tony Gray goes out. They ping their cells. He walks up to the car, and they arrest him. Now, they can't arrest him for robbery, but they got him on, they were pretty much in the sauce, so to speak. They were that, and being a public menace, and they did a whole thing. So their barbecue robbery plans went awry thanks to a smart and a perceptive 911 operator and their dumbass luck. So there you go.
Don't turn them in. Let them get burnt.
Let them get burnt. Yeah, let those get burnt. Good one there. Back with Kim Allison here from Thermal Works. And Kim has volunteered to be on the lightning round. Are you ready, my dear?
I think so. Probably as ready as I'm going to be.
Oh, yeah. It's easy. It's easy. Fire it up. Let's go. All right, Kim Allison, as she's thinking about Tom Cruise with this music in the background there, what is your favorite seafood to barbecue or smoke?
Salmon.
Okay. Toughest skill for a beginning barbecuer to learn?
How to control the temperature inside your smoker.
Okay. What barbecue skill took the longest for you, Kim, to master?
Probably the same thing, maintaining an even temperature inside the smoker.
Okay. So what have you learned overall about barbecue and grilling and temperatures, not only working for Thermal Works, but your other work and just being at home cooking?
Well, having a thermometer monitoring the air temperature inside your smoker is one of the most valuable things that you can have. Being able to know exactly when you need to adjust your vents or if you need to add fuel, it's priceless. And I've noticed that the air temperature, when measured with a thermometer, is as much as 20 degrees off from what your dome thermometer is going to read.
Sure.
On your smoker.
Pellets, charcoal, or gas for you?
Oh, my gosh. That's a really personal question. Oh, my gosh. Well, charcoal. That's
charcoal.
Flavor.
Okay. What is the best day for Kim Allison contain as far as activities? When you're away from work, what does it contain for activities for you?
Doing something with my kids, for sure.
Oh, good.
Hanging out with them, having fun.
Okay. Which of these would you rather barbecue? A Thanksgiving turkey, a Yule log, a Christmas goose, the Easter bunny?
I'm going to say goose, because barbecuing the Easter bunny just sounds like cruel and unusual punishment for him. He hasn't done anything to me.
Oh, okay. Well, you got a kind heart there. I like it. Fill in the blank on this. Liquid smoke should be used for what?
Nothing.
It's unanimous. It's unanimous across the board. Absolutely. If you were declared supreme ruler of barbecue for a week, what would you as the supreme ruler decree?
Oh, my gosh. What would I decree? Well, that everyone get rid of their liquid smoke, probably. Get rid of that. And only use charcoal for a week.
Okay. You know, we're probably going to get sued by the liquid smoke people sometime. It's just, we've been on a roll. We've done 89 shows, I think. And
occupational hazard, Jeff.
It is. It's okay. Alpha Media is insured. Do you have a favorite barbecue book?
Oh, a favorite barbecue book. That's a really good question. I love Franklin Barbecue. That one is great. He really goes into the methodology so, so, so well. DBQ just came out with a fantastic one that we have absolutely loved.
Good. I just got Meathead Goldwyn's book in. I mean,
that's a great one too.
Yeah, he just sent that to me after he was on the show a couple weeks ago. He did very good. What's the worst concert you ever attended? Worst concert?
Worst concert? That's really tough. I can't think of a worst one off the top of my head, but I think there was one that sticks out to me that was better than I thought it would be, and that was a Richard Marx concert. He gave a great show.
Okay. Dumbest thing you've ever seen done with a grill?
Oh, the dumbest thing that I've ever done. Oh, man, there's probably a ton of them.
Well, pick one.
Jeez, pick one. Probably, the dumbest thing I've ever done, I can think of it right now. Way too much lump charcoal the first time I used that. I was using probably about the same amount that I would have used with the briquette,
mm-hmm.
and it got way too hot.
Yeah, it'll get up there when you do that.
Yep.
Do you remember what the first thing was you ever grilled or smoked?
Chicken.
Chicken. How'd it turn out?
Beautiful.
Was it?
I was hooked.
Okay. Have you ever, usually when we say that, the very first thing is, yeah, it's not too good, but I like somebody with confidence. That's good. I like that. biggest mistake you've ever made while on the job, you know, cooking a recipe or preparing a recipe, and then you kind of forgot something or did something wrong?
I've got a good one. So the worst thing I think that I've done on the job here that had to do with the project was when we were doing turkeys. I needed to quickly thaw some, so I was going to do a water thaw, and I put two turkeys in our sink downstairs in the demo kitchen, left the water on, and I remembered I had to get something done at my desk. Came up here, completely forgot I had the water going downstairs. About 10 minutes later, someone was like, "Hey, Kim, the kitchen was completely flooded."
You have swimming turkeys.
Yeah, it was not a good thing.
It was not a good thing. Did you have to kind of put some time, extra time in there?
Get that cleaned up? Yeah, and it was awesome. A lot of people here helped out too.
Okay, where's the worst place you ever had to cook, Kim?
The worst place that I ever had to cook?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe a hotel room. That's really tough.
It is. I've done it.
Yeah, it can be tough. I would definitely say that.
Okay, yeah. Don't take this personal, but have you ever cooked in the snow in your underwear?
No.
Okay.
Pajamas, maybe, but underwear, no.
Well, pajamas, we'll count that. That's a
okay,
yes.
Okay, fine.
Okay, Led Zeppelin or Slim Whitman?
Led Zeppelin.
There you go. Ford or Chevy?
Ford.
Favorite movie?
Favorite movie? Oh, my gosh. One that I watched, I don't know, a handful of times recently was V for Vendetta.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Reynolds has got that. He's down with that, man.
You have no idea how many times I've watched that on Netflix recently.
Yeah.
Like, just a ridiculous amount. Like, my tombstone's going to say spent too much time watching Seinfeld and V for Vendetta.
It's poignant, isn't it?
It's great, and there's a lot of tie-ins to today's world, and love that movie. Great movie.
There you go. Yep. There you go. What kind of first-time barbecuer, first-time griller, what advice would you give them?
What advice? Start really, really simple. You don't need to jump in and get the biggest, most complicated, most expensive smoker out there. Start really simple. When I started, I had a little Weber kettle, and it worked perfectly. You can use it for grilling. You can use it for smoking. And, you know, it's going to be an easier thing for you to start out with. So I would say start simple.
Well, there you go. Kim Allison, you passed. You did pass on the what the hell is it? The lightning round. There you go. Lightning round.
I'm so glad.
We're going to take a break, but first I want to tell you really quick about our friends at Bear Mountain Forest Products. They use pellets, and they use wood, and they make them, and there is no additives, preservatives, or toxins in that. They're compressed by pressure, and they make some of the best pellets for your barbecue and for your home heating if you use that. They don't use false flavors or anything like that. Check them out at BearMountainForestProducts.com, and we will be back on The Nation shortly.
Barbecue Nation with Jeff Tracy.
Oh, yeah, Godzilla. Reminds me of the old Perry Mason movie, you know, Godzilla walking into Tokyo and all that stuff. It's great. Or, anyway, you're listening to Barbecue Nation, and we've got Kim Allison on with us today from Thermal Works. Kim is the culinary boss down there, so that you know when you buy a Thermal Works pen, thermometer, I mean, it really works. There's too many works in this one, but real quickly, we've only got a couple minutes left. Has working at Thermal Works changed the way you cook for your family?
It has. It really changes things. I feel like it's something that you can't overstate enough, that it will change the way you eat once you understand how temperature affects your food.
Sure.
It's quite, you know, a power. It's like you're learning a secret. Once you know exactly when your food is done, it's a game changer. Your food is going to taste so much better. You're never going to have dry, overcooked chicken again. It's definitely changed the way that I cook at home.
You mean like the old joke, you don't use the smoke alarm for a thermometer? when you're cooking?
No, you sure don't. Oh. Unless your pan's searing inside, and sometimes that does create quite a bit of smoke, you know? Have you ever had that happen?
I won't admit to it, but
you've got a ripping hot skillet, and maybe your range hood isn't sucking everything out as fast as it is able to get produced anyway.
Yeah.
But no, don't use your smoke alarm as a thermometer.
Yeah, we've got a Gen Air, but I forget to turn it on. Mm-hmm. So the next thing on the wall going that direction is a smoke detector. So you figure it out. What have you created anything while doing this? Excuse me. That you're really proud of? I mean, like a dish or a recipe or something on the menu, so to speak.
I don't know that I have necessarily, but I feel like after this last holiday season, I've got cooking turkeys licked.
Okay.
We ended up buying about 27 this last year for all of our content. And I deep fried, I roasted, I smoked, spatchcocked, you name it. We did it to turkeys.
Well, there you go. We did 19 one time when I had a big commercial smoker. And my folks had a business, and they wanted to give all their employees a turkey. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the good sense to, buy a 10-pound turkey. I bought, 20-pound turkeys. And that was a stick smoker, stick wood smoker. Mm-hmm. It took, 2 days... 2 cases of beer and a bottle of scotch, as I remember correctly. But that was a long time ago in my misspent youth. Allison, is there anything that you want to do in the world of research and barbecue, so to speak, that you haven't been able to do yet?
That I haven't been able to do yet. That's right. A really good question. Well, I'd like to delve into other topics, too. So we deal a lot, obviously, with barbecue and with grilling, but there are a lot of other thermal applications with baking, and I'm fascinated with breads and what happens with fermentation. So that's something I'd like to delve into as well.
Okay. Real quickly, why don't you give our listeners how they can go to the Thermal Works website and look at the products? And there's probably a dealer list on there too, but give them that information if you would.
Absolutely. Go to thermalworks.com, and then right along the top, you will see categories of all of our different products. You can grab a ThermoPen, you can grab one of our brand new smoke thermometers. If you click on alarm thermometers, that one is a two-channel thermometer with a wireless receiver, and that one has really been catching on with our customer base that does a lot of barbecuing. So thermalworks.com, and you can't miss the categories that you're going to be looking for.
That's thermo with an O, not an A, right?
Correct. Okay. Thermalworks.com.
Okay. Kim Allison, we thank you for being with us here on Barbecue Nation today. We appreciate it. And one more shout out to our friends over at Knob Hill Outfitters. Don't forget, they've got a new special on Sawtooth Pellet Grills because they just became a dealer. They're knocking that price down to under $900 on the Model 410. So check them out this weekend. They're over there in the Milwaukee area. And thank you, Seattle, for being with us on your inaugural show up there. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Reynolds. Remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. See you next week.
Barbecue Nation is produced by Alpha Media USA in association with JTSD Productions, LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2016. Barbecue Nation is managed skillfully by Reynolds in production compound 4 high above the skyline of PDX, the one with no windows. We'll be back next week with another entertaining and fun edition of Barbecue Nation. At least, that's what we believe. Remember, a good long smolder is better than a 2-minute flameout. See you next week.